Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to this journey together for the next hour as we face the issues. It is always our prayer that you'll join in the dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you that you can do that by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call goes directly to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question or comment. It's always a joy to have you participate in the broadcast. It's always a delight to have you ask your questions and allow us to respond to them in relationship to what the Bible says. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, based on the authority of the Word of God. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that's the source book of truth. That is truth. And the Scripture says that as Christians, we ought to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That means we need to understand what's going on in the world today. When it means we need to understand how to resolve that in our own minds and hearts with the issues that we're faced with. As we face issues each day, and all of us do, regardless of whether you call them problems or difficulties or whatever you might title them, they're all issues. And as we face the issues, I like to remind us that we have the privilege as Christians to face the issues based on the authority of the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. May I add a little phrase there, plenary. That means all, total. Nothing to be added to, nothing to be taken from, no watering down of the Word of God or diluting the Word of God or taking anything out by deleting it from the Scripture. And no adding to. We have a lot of adding to the Scripture today, and people quoting things that's not in the Bible, people saying, well, God said this, and God never said it. But the Word of God, the Scripture, is our source book of truth. Jesus said to his disciples, John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Now, notice, ladies and gentlemen, if I can pause for a moment on that text, John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You're truly my disciples if you continue, stay, constantly be in my word, Jesus says. And it's after you stay in the word of God, it's then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. I don't think there can be any greater dogmatic statement than saying Jesus is truth. And to give a broader understanding of truth and who Jesus is, Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that is truth. It doesn't just contain truth. The word of God is truth. And so I tell you that because I have always advocated that we should have a central Biblicist worldview. Central Biblicist worldview simply means, what does the Bible say? The Bible is the first, foremost, and final authority in the world, and it should be in our lives. It should be inculcated in our lives. We should be able to speak the truth in love. In fact, Zechariah 8:6 says, speak every man truth to his neighbor. And that's what we ought to do, ladies and gentlemen, today. And this is the purpose of this broadcast, is speaking the truth. I am delighted to find so many of you that are looking forward to each day, this broadcast and what is said, to give illumination and understanding and to educate us on what's happening on a global basis and what's taking place from a central Biblicist worldview and how we as Christians ought to respond to these issues. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the last of the last days, and it's time Christians wake up, look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. And in doing so, it's time that we as Christians be recognize our responsibility and the command by the Lord Jesus Christ, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. And salt and light has no value unless it gets out of the closet and we get out of the shaker. When it says, ye are the salt of the world, but Jesus says, salt of the earth, and Jesus says that if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be used? It has no value, be cast out and trodden underfoot. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is talking about the church. And I believe as the church, as Christians, we ought to be salt. That is a preservative in a decaying, dying society. We need to be light, that is illumination, in a darkened world. And we realize that truth is a forgotten subject today. In fact, most are not interested in, nor are they looking forward to telling them the truth. If you tell a person the truth many times, more often than not, they want to get angry with you. In fact, it was George Orwell that said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak the truth. And so that's exactly what we see taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be informed. I want us to be educated based on what God would have us to do as Christians. There are many subjects, many issues today that are viewed as no-no, viewed as subjects that Christians ought not to talk about, viewed as subjects that Christians ought not to speak boldly about. I'm always surprised, ladies and gentlemen, at the number of Christians and pastors, Christian pastors, that will say, you know, we ought not talk about political things. God's going to handle all of that. Yes, by and by, in the future, we'll all be gathered around the throne of God and we'll sing, worthy is the Lamb, according to Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. But until then, we're really in the world. We're aliens passing through the world, but we need to be citizens in the world in which we're living. And as citizens in the society in which we're living, we have a responsibility to be salt and light and to take a stand on these issues that I feel so passionate about that as Christians we ought to recognize. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about today transforming America by political jihad, by political jihad. Now, you might ask the question, what is political jihad? It is Islamic jihad, but carried out in a different fashion. It's through the political process. We'll talk about the different types of jihad that's found in the Quran. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, today's this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. They carry the full line of landscape and lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as the professionals in that realm. Tools for Time also carries the hurricane preparedness equipment, has a full line of Honda generators, and the knowledgeable staff to answer all your questions about the equipment that is sold at Tools for Time. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You say, where is that located? 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Better identification, you can find the tall 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. At the base of that flagpole is Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about political jihad. We're talking about today the transforming of America by way of political jihad. Now, you might ask the question, why should Christians be interested in what's taking place in America with the Islamization of our nation? In fact, a number of years ago, I had the privilege of publishing a book that was titled The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. And ladies and gentlemen, we see that taking place today in America. The Coming Global Islamic Invasion is a study of Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's Russia and the five nations that Russia leads to come against Israel and will eventually then ripple throughout all of the world. And it is very intriguing as you read the text in relationship to that. It's not a very large book. In fact, the book is not but about 70 pages. It's several chapters, but it's the study of Ezekiel 38 and 39. The title of the book is The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. And that's exactly what is taking place today in America and around the globe. It's not just America, but it's the global Islamic invasion. But we see it in America today. And perhaps you ask the question, why should a Christian be involved? Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. There's a matter of our First Amendment rights. Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, under Islamic law, that is Quranic law, under the Quran and the laws thereby, in every nation that's an Islamic nation, Indonesia being a good example. Some 99% of Indonesia is simply made up of Islamic Quranic law. And in that nation, in any nation where Islam dominates, you have no, zip, zero, nada, no religious liberties whatsoever. In fact, Christians are repressed. Christians are slaughtered like chickens on the street. More and more are slaughtered every day as a result of simply being a Christian. In fact, I find it antithetical to anything that's called Christianity that will say that we ought not to say anything about Islam. I'm looking at an article here. Archbishop says, Muslims slaughtering Christians like chickens in Nigeria. And you say, well, perhaps your answer is, well, that's in Nigeria. That's not in America. Ladies and gentlemen, give it enough time. We're in what's called submissive jihad now, and we'll talk about that. Submissive jihad or silent jihad is where there is a total silence or submission to the nation and the nation's laws around them until they get enough in number that they rise up and start taking control. And across the world, around the world, you have Christians and conservatives, not just Christians, but conservatives, those that are not Islamic, that are being persecuted and prosecuted as a result of saying anything about Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, while we watch and listen to the focus on the phony, illegal, unconstitutional impeachment hearings, we're failing to recognize that the enemy's increasing encroachment and control in America and in the American political system, and that's Islam. Demographers tell us that, warn us by the year 2050, that America will be controlled by Islam, will be an Islamic nation. Here's an article that I won't take time, cannot take time to read you the total article, but the title of the article, dated September the 2nd, 2019, Ignore Islam at Our Own Peril. Let me just read you two or three brief paragraphs of this very, very provocative, dangerous article. There's no shortage of Islamic materials on the market for anyone curious enough to seek the truth for himself. This writer says, I personally have written hundreds of articles about Islam and the threat it poses to our Constitution. The painstaking task of educating American public about this threat has not stopped Islam's advancement in America. I am puzzled as to why no one takes the threat seriously. Europe is already badly infected with Islamism. It is the canary in the coal mine. It is telling us Islam's next step and the next stop is America. Many Americans have common sense to see that Islam and Western values are incompatible. They would like to see Muslims assimilate and become part of the shareholders of this great nation. On the contrary, however, it has been the complete opposite. Not only do Muslims not assimilate, they're actively involved in imposing their own ideological bent and their own Muslim thoughts in the hopes of someday that America, they will be able to conquer and America will come under the rule of Islam. To Muslims, no religion or mandate in law is deemed worthy of recognition, much less accommodation. Two other brief paragraphs. Title of the article is Ignore Islam at Our Own Peril. When American officials opposed the opened the gates of the hordes of Islam, Muslims, and permitted massive numbers of them to enter America, our culture and our way of life was forever altered. Just look at Minnesota or Dearborn, Michigan, Minneapolis, the Somali communities today. They become the terrorist recruitment capital of the United States. At the same time, elected U.S. officials do absolutely nothing to combat this vital, vile threat to our society and culture. We have a serious problem that no one wants to discuss simply because they fear being called Islamophobic or racist. The American people don't have the means or the power to stop the wrecking ball that is called Islam. They rely on their elected leaders and officials to be on top of this. But these elected officials play politics by avoiding the issue. In fact, many of them appease these newcomers with open arms and allow them to impose anything and everything their heart desires. Why is this so? Very simple. Money. M-O-N-E-Y, that writer says. It's a very lengthy article, but I believe we need to understand that that sets the baseline for what we're talking about today. And I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but through our grandkids and great-grandkids, we're concerned. We may not be here for the next few years, but we're concerned, ladies and gentlemen, every Christian under the sound of my voice needs to be vitally concerned, not panic-stricken, but vitally concerned that we educate ourselves and realize that we must put pressure on our elected leaders and demand that we no longer allow the influx of the immigration on a wild, rampant basis where we're watering down and destroying the American culture. But ladies and gentlemen, all we need to do is look at Europe today. Europe has already turned mostly Islamic. Today, Germany and France and England and the majority of Europe is now firmly in the grips of the Islamic jihadists. Now, why do I call them jihadists, ladies and gentlemen? We'll talk about that in a moment. Jihad means holy war. I don't care what you hear the Western Islamics say. The Quran, the Noble Quran, which I have a copy in my hands, the Noble Quran, of which I've had the privilege of studying and researching and writing about for many, many, many years now, even the greatest Islamic scholars with on the footnotes, it's just like a Christian study Bible, but it's not Christian by any stretch of the imagination. But on the footnotes in relationship to jihad, the Islamic scholars say that jihad is holy war against the infidel, holy war against those that reject Islam. That is, they are the ones that are the infidel. And it says in the footnote, it is to be obedient to Allah. Whoever disobeys Allah, whoever obeys not the Quran, then whosoever disobeys, it's disobeying Allah and to be put to death. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to do the study in the Quran just simply by way of reference to set the benchmark and the stage of what we're talking about. May I remind us, it's a very dangerous, looming fact that we have over America today, and that is the transforming of America by political jihad. Political jihad. It's the Islamic jihad that we see taking place in America today. And if you want to know what America is going to look like 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years, just look at Europe and see how Europe has become an Islamic nation. Europe is an Islamic region. Europe is controlled today by Islam. And if you don't think of that, if you don't look at that and realize it, let's go back further. Let's go back into the 60s in relationship to Islam. In fact, we could go back beyond that. Here's an article that says Islam in the Netherlands. Islam is the second largest religion in the Netherlands, practiced by over 4% of the population, according to 2010-2011 estimates. Today, it's approximately 7%. This is 2010-11. The majority of Muslims in the Netherlands belong to the Sunni denomination. Most reside in the nation's four major cities, Amsterdam, Rotterdam, The Hague, and Utrecht. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the article says, the Netherlands' economic resurgence in the years between 1960 and 73 motivated the Dutch government to recruit migrant labor, chiefly from Turkey and Morocco. Later, waves of immigrants arrived through the family reunification and Islam asylum system. A notable portion of the Muslim immigrants also arrived from now independent colonies, primarily Indonesia and other Islamic countries. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an 8-page article that is frightening to read, but I find it informative because we need to understand it. But back in the 60s, for example, in the nation of the Netherlands, they opened Pandora's box. They have left the gate wide open because they needed workers. By the way, that's one of the major things that's taking place in America today, looking for low-wage workers to come into America. As a result of that, you have both the Democrats and the Republicans, whether the Republicans admit it or not, the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats are wanting the large numbers of the hordes of the immigrants, Islamic immigrants, to come in to buy votes for the future takeover of American political jurisprudence system. Most of the Republicans, whether they say it or not, are wanting the Islamic invasion to take place because they want low-wage workers to come into America to run the chicken plants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those that are slaughtering chickens and cows and so forth, that's on many of the jobs that is on the low totem pole for those that are looking for work. But never mind that. Let me just simply say this. In the 60s, through about 1975, the Netherlands had a Pandora's box opened that they didn't recognize until about late 1970, 75 and further. And when they realized what was taking place, that the migration was happening, immigration was happening, but they discovered that they could not pass the laws that would force them to do anything different, because it was between 1975 and 1995 that the Netherlands realized that they were in dominating total control in the legislative process, in every legislative branch in the Netherlands, controlled by the Islamics that had come in, that had run for office, and that had taken over the nation of the Netherlands. Ladies and gentlemen, Australia will allow the Muslims to come in, but Australia will not allow a Muslim, even as a Muslim immigrant that becomes a citizen of that nation. They cannot vote. They cannot take public office. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say this? There's a need for us to recognize what's happening in America because of the major influx of Islam coming in to our great nation. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I want us to understand in relationship to this subject today is the danger of it. In fact, let me just read you a brief statement out of my book on the subject, Is Islam Tolerant? It's 25 chapters. It's about 350 pages. But on chapter 25, there is a full chapter where it's a full reproduction, verbatim, of the speech that was given in America by Gert Wilder, that's Gert, G-E-R-T, Gert Wilder, which was then the chairman of the Freedom Party of the Netherlands, at the Four Seasons Hotel in New York, standing on the steps. He was introduced as an alliance of patriots and announcing the coming jihad conference in Jerusalem. And let me just read you a portion of it. Time won't allow me to go into depth, but full chapter in my book, starting with page 293. He says, I come to America with a mission. All is not well in this old world. There's a tremendous danger looming, and it's very difficult to be optimistic. We might be in the final stages of the Islamization of Europe. This is not only in a clear and present danger in the future of Europe itself, it is a threat to America and the sheer survival of all of the West. The United States is the last bastion of Western civilization facing an Islamic Europe. First, I will describe the situation on the ground in Europe. Then I will say a few things about Islam. To close, I will tell you about the meeting in Jerusalem. And Gert Wilder pours out his heart. He said, in some elementary schools in Amsterdam, the farm can no longer be mentioned because that would be also mean mentioning pigs, and that would be an insult to Muslims. In France, school teachers are advised to avoid authors deemed offensive to Muslims, including Voltaire and others. The same is increasingly true of Darwin. The history of the Holocaust can no longer be taught because of Muslim sensitivity. In England, Sharia courts are now officially part of the British legal system. Many neighborhoods in France are no-go areas for women without headscarves. Last week, a man almost died after being beaten up by Muslims in Brussels because he was drinking during Ramadan. Jews are fleeing France in record numbers on the run for the worst wave of anti-Semitism since World War II. French is now commonly spoken on the streets in Tel Aviv and Israel. I could go on further and forever with stories like this, and the stories about the Islamization of nations. And he goes on to talk about that. He says, Muslims demand are supported by Islamic behavior. Further, he says, much of the street violence I mentioned is directed exclusively against non-Muslims, forcing many native people to leave their neighborhoods, their cities, their countries. Moreover, Muslims are now swing voters that cannot be any longer ignored. And it goes on to talk about Islam and what Islam believes and why it is so vital for America to recognize it. And he says in one of the statements, now you know what Winston Churchill called Islam, the most retrograde force in the world, and why he compared Mein Kampf to the Quran. The public has wholeheartedly accepted the Palestinian narrative and sees Israel as the aggressor. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go further and further with the statement, but simply put, the 25th chapter in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, is a telling chapter because it comes from one that has experienced it, and he has surveyed it and researched it in Europe. He knows what has happened to his own home country in the Netherlands. We are facing a dangerous Islamic takeover in America. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, political jihad. We're talking about transforming America by political jihad. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, join in the dialogue and discussion in relationship to the dangers looming before us in America. And while we watch the shenanigans, the charade, and the circus going on, and the chaos in Washington with nothing being done to protect and take care of America, while we watch the unconstitutional charade called impeachment, we're not watching what's taking place, and we're witnesses of what shall be the future unless we sit up and wake up and smell the coffee, as the old cliche goes. But ladies and gentlemen, the article that I just read, the portion in chapter 25, starting page 293 in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, is relevant for us to understand today. Today, America is on the fast track toward Islamic control in our great nation. Islam, ladies and gentlemen, for your edification and understanding, Islam simply means submission. Submission. The goal of Islam is not to blend with other societies. The goal is not to immigrate, have immigration and assimilation, but through jihad, take complete control of any nation which it enters. Jihad is found in several different ways according to Islamic studies and Islamic goals. There's about five or six different jihads. Submission jihad, silent jihad, educational jihad, political jihad, and then holy war jihad, where that's in this with the sword in hand, out and out war against the nation in which they find themselves in. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. Just read you the headline. Quebec mayor shocks Muslim immigrants by saying, listen, this is a Quebec mayor. I understand it's not America. It's north of us in the border. Quebec mayor shocks Muslim immigrants by saying, we don't adapt to your culture, you adapt to ours. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not what is taking place. You know, Trudeau, the head, the prime minister of Canada, has converted to Islam just a few weeks back. He said the Shahada prayer, that is the conversion prayer to Islam. He has officially converted to Islam. And you'll find people like John Brennan, that was the former head of the Intelligence Division for America. John Brennan had converted to Islam. John Brennan is today a practicing Muslim. And yet you think he's supposed to be looking out for, with intelligence, protecting and taking care of America? If old cliche, no siree, not on your lifetime. That's not his goal, not his plan. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says, New York City, giant sculpture proclaiming there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet goes up at ground zero. City officials should move it. Would a giant sculpture containing Shinto inscriptions be put up at Pearl Harbor? But nothing will be done about it. To move it would be Islamophobic. And the de Blasio administration would rather have its teeth pulled out with a rusty pair of pliers than anything that might even give the appearance of being Islamophobic. The sculpture bearing Saudi Arabia, the sculpture celebrating Saudi Arabia's place in the G20 summit was erected on the World Trade Center grounds last week, a stone's throw away from the 9/11 memorial. And by the way, this was in early 2019. Shaped to resemble a piece of candy, the 9-foot-tall statue bears the kingdom emerald flag emblazoned with the Arabic inscription, there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. It was created by a French sculptor as part of the larger installation, Candy Nations, which depict G20 countries and their delight in having it placed there. Ladies and gentlemen, when that couldn't have happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. But now we find Islam standing up, rising up in America, and demanding to be recognized and demanding power and control. We're going to talk about that in just a moment and further in this broadcast in relationship to the numbers and the percentages and what it takes once it reaches a percentage of Islamic immigrants coming in, what they do in any nation that they come into. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the transformation of America by political jihad. Political jihad, political holy war against America. It's being done silently. It's being done in a stealth fashion. It's being done through the educational process and the submission process, and then ultimately in the political process. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Don't turn that dial. Be right back as we continue Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.